Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Friday. Great to have you in. Live in L.A., it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. See the Dodger game last night with the Padres? Fernando Tatis hit a ball out of Dodger Stadium. That hasn't happened since, like, Willie McCovey in the 70s. Guy hit a ball out of the stadium.
It's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive. Good to have you in today. Dwight Freeney, one of the all-time great pass rushers, top 20 all-time sacks, is going to be joining us today. And I'm going to have a sixth pick this weekend. It is
Bonus pick.
It's an interesting weekend, Joy. Joy Taylor, for the radio audience joining me, is that she's got a show tomorrow on Fox Sports Radio at
2 to 4 p.m. Eastern.
And it's an interesting weekend where, like, the trade deadline's like week 7 or 8. If you go 0-4, do you start moving pieces?
If you
go 3-1 or you're good but you have a hole, do you start calling bad teams? So 0-4 is hopeless. 0-3, Giants win this weekend. It's like, well, we had two teams beat. 0-4 and 1-3 is the Grand Canyon. Like 0-4, the GM and the coach sit down and say, hey, listen. Do we start trading pieces and getting draft picks? So it's a very, very important weekend. All of the odds provided by Fox Bet Sports Book. Here we go, our Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Panthers and Cowboys.
I'm on the opposite side of the wise guys. I like Dallas -4.5. They're a Tom Brady game-winning drive from being perfect. They outplayed the Buccaneers. The Cowboys are doing something that almost always wins. They're +5 in turnover differential, best in the league. They're taking it away, and they're not giving it back. And Dak Prescott's last 6 home starts, 117 passer rating. But here's the story. Sam Darnold has been 2 quarterbacks this year. First half and second half. When it's on script with Matt Rhule, he's great. Second half, he is literally half the quarterback. Left to his own devices, they get more conservative. His completion percentage plummets. His passer rating plummets. His yards plummet. Christian McCaffrey's out. They're on the road. I think Dallas wins and covers. They have not trailed in a game. Without McCaffrey, they will be. That will leave this team to more Sam Darnold ad-libbing against the Dallas defense, which the market hasn't caught up to. It's better than people think.
Colts and Dolphins.
I like Miami -2. You may even get a better line on this. I've said Jacoby Brissett is better than Tua. So we're talking about how good the Raiders defense has been this year. Brissett last week is the starter. It's the most yards the Dolphins have had all year. The most first downs, the most points. Jacoby Brissett's better than Tua. They're going to win this game. Carson Wentz, I like him. His last 7 starts, he's 0-7. At some point, we've got to be honest about this. And he's completing 57% of his throws. That's his last 7 starts with 2 coaching staffs. The Colts are also falling apart. Quentin Nelson's hurt. T.Y. Hilton's hurt. Kwity Paye is hurt. The Colts defense right now, you can run the ball on them. That is something that hasn't necessarily been true. The Colts are struggling everywhere. Health, accuracy, stopping the run. I think the Dolphins beat him at home 27-23.
Browns at Vikings.
The Vikings should be 3-0. They beat the Seahawks. They should have beat the Cardinals, and they went to overtime with the Bengals. They're an underdog at home getting 2.5 against Cleveland. This is not an indictment on Cleveland, but they're injured. Their left tackle playing on one leg. Greg Newsome, the rookie corner, is a good one. He's hurt, bad calf. Jarvis Landry's still not there, and their defense isn't right yet. Here's the other thing. When you look at the Vikings, I know everybody likes to roll their eyes at Kirk Cousins. When's the last bad game Kirk Cousins has had? He's had 17 consecutive games with a 90-plus passer rating. They're at home where he's always better. In the NFL this year, he's 4th in completion percentage, number 1 in touchdown interception ratio, 4th in passer rating. Folks, I'm not sure they should be the dog here. They're at home. They beat Seattle. They had Arizona beat. They had Cincinnati beat. I'm not sure the line is right. And until I'm sure Cleveland has their defense right against a legitimate offense, I think the Vikings will take the points. They win 27-26.
Giants at Saints.
One of my favorite bets of the weekend. Daniel Jones is no longer turning the ball over. One interception in his last nine games. And the Saints offense, how are they giving up 7 or 8 points? They can't move the ball. They've had only 3 big plays all year. They're almost last or next to last in yards, passing yards per play, big plays. Jameis Winston has the fewest passing yards of any quarterback in the league that started 3 games. Their opponents have outgained them. Folks, the Patriots and Mac Jones outgained them. I'm not saying they can't win, but I get a touchdown with a Giants team that under Joe Judge has been blown out one time. This is totally the right side. I'll go with the upset, Giants 27-26.
Ravens at Broncos.
Possible blowout. Broncos getting a point at home. I think they may blow out Baltimore. First of all, the Ravens are struggling on third down. Lamar, 5 turnovers this year. Not healthy, not 100%. Little bit of a turnover bug. Denver's defense is on fire. Now, some of that's they've played junk, but they have solved their cornerback issues. Points game, yards per play, opposer passer rating, amazing. And again, Teddy Bridgewater is not just completing passes. He's making plays. Now, they're banged up at wide receiver on offense, but they're deep enough at skill positions. I think they put some big points up here. I don't love what I'm seeing with Baltimore right now. Struggling on third down. In fact, their third down conversion rate, 30%. That's the third lowest in the league. More opportunities for Bridgewater and that offense to get the ball and control the clock. Out of respect for Baltimore, I'll say it's close. Denver 27-24. It may start to unravel fast, though, if Baltimore can't get drives going. So here's my Blazing Five this week. Love it. Absolutely love it. I'm going to take the favorite Cowboys and the favorite Dolphins, and then I'm taking dogs. I'm taking the Vikings, the Giants, and the Broncos. You know I love my dog picks. And I also want to throw this out, and we'll talk about this more later on Monday night. I love the Chargers on Monday night, -3.5. Now, the hook number is 3.5, right? So the wise guys probably like the Raiders. Some important numbers on Justin Herbert. Now, we all know he's talented, right? This is going to be a wild high-scoring game at SoFi. It's not going to be a home field for anybody. It's going to be a wild game. It'll be a lot of points. So the spread doesn't matter as much when you get into a 38-35 game or something. Since week 2 last year, Justin Herbert, a young quarterback, leads the league in completions, second in 300-yard games, third in 300-yard games, or in passing yards. And the Chargers are 6-1 in their last 7 games, and their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, no sacks in 150 snaps. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. I'm going to go with a home team. I think Justin Herbert, I said this about Dallas's defense. I think we know Justin Herbert's good. When you deep dive on the numbers, it's like, whoa. Like, we're talking Mahomes good. Like I said about Cowboys defense, the market hasn't caught up to it. It's way better than people think. And with that, that's my Blazing Five plus my bonus pick. There you go. If I go 0-6, I'll never do it again. I'll tell you that right now.
No. Not happening.
Not happening. Dwight Freeney, 16 NFL seasons, a 7-time Pro Bowler. His Colts in danger of going to 0-4. You know, it's interesting. The Colts have an injury bug. They got a Carson Wentz issue. They're not stopping people running the football. Were you ever on a team where it's like, man, you just couldn't get a break. You couldn't stay healthy. Because it feels like to me, Dwight, the talent's here, but they're just, from the COVID stuff they argued about preseason to injuries, maybe it's just not their year.
Well, it's definitely a tough start. You know, and I think if I remember back, you know, it was right after the lockout year and Peyton was supposed to be back with us. And all of a sudden things happened with the neck, you know, it was going to come back in week 1, week 2, week 8, He never came back. We ended up 2-14 that year.
Wow.
Right? We had a pretty good team, but we would lose maybe seven or eight games by one touchdown or one field goal, last second field goal, things of that nature. Now, I'm not saying the Indianapolis Colts will be that. I think, honestly, they've had some tough losses. Right? They had some tough breaks. But the thing is about what's happening is they're losing their identity a little bit.
Yeah.
And what their identity is for the last few years has been running the ball. That's what they did very well. Okay. So when you run the ball, now all of a sudden those linebackers, those safeties, right, they come in the box. It makes throws easier for a quarterback. Now, Carson Wentz, with two bad ankles,
right,
all right, you don't need to be putting all that pressure on him to make every throw. I mean, and I know they're excited to have a guy like a high draft pick like Carson Wentz back there throwing that rock, but you have to keep and stay with your identity and stay with what got you there, all right? Those passes will come. You don't need to be throwing the ball 30, 40 times with Carson, especially now, all right? And especially you're playing a Miami Dolphin team whose run defense is almost as bad as our run defense, which is very surprising to say, because usually we're really tough on the run, okay? And we're really a top 10 defense. Right now, we're not playing good on either side of the ball.
You know, it's interesting. Brady left New England, and the last year was a little tense, and Manning left Indianapolis, and there were talk about Andrew Luck, and, you know, people kind of saw it coming. Go back to your – are there similarities or difference? Go back to when the legend is aging – and everybody kind of has, you know, Brady put his house up for sale a year before. Everybody in the locker room's like, Tommy's leaving. Take me to your last year, kind of that being with a legend, that rumors start, he's aging. Is it disruptive? Is it tough on the team? I mean, take me there.
Well, I think having a marquee guy like that, you know, have those types of rumors swirl, there is a little buzz around the locker room, you know, where it's like, you know, I don't know if he's coming back. You know, I think our situation was a lot different. Obviously, you know, Peyton being hurt, okay, and, you know, Jim Irsay having to have to make a decision on Andrew Luck, or is it going to be, you know, Peyton? So I think our scenario is a lot different than what's going on or what happened with Tom Brady. All right, Tom Brady definitely had a lot more miles on. We didn't know how many miles Peyton had left.
Right.
Okay, we were hoping and praying, but you know what? They made the decision to go, you know, another way. I don't think it was the best decision, but right, that's what they decided. And, you know, all rights to them. So that is what it is. But New England, you know, Tom still had a lot of years left, especially with the rules now where you protect the quarterback right, so much, you know, and you can't even breathe on a guy and you get, you know, get flagged for a penalty. So I think Tom, in that system, they could have probably won a couple more. You know, and Tom decided to go. He wanted to change the scenery. It is what it is. But I don't think the Patriots fans or anything like that, they're going to boo him. I think, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, identify the Patriots as Tom Brady. So it would be hard to boo Tom. They're basically booing your own team.
Right. You know, I'm watching all these young quarterbacks play, and I think Trevor Lawrence, I think he's really good, and I think he's going to be fine. Yeah. And he started for, you know, 3 years in college, so he's got a lot of reps. Some of these guys didn't, like Trey Lance didn't start at all much in college, right? Just 1 year.
Yeah.
So when you watch the one young quarterback we all feel good about, it's Trey Lance. He's the one that's not playing. We're just getting bits and pieces. You played in this league for a long time, and it takes a while before you can get the game. Are these teams, in your opinion, rushing young quarterbacks on the field because they drafted them so high?
Man, it's a tough decision. You know, you have usually the high draft picks, you know, are on bad teams. Okay, so right, you put that guy out there and he gets baptized by fire, right? Defensive coordinators are drawing up all different types of elaborate blitzes to confuse the guy. You got defensive linemen licking their chops, can't wait to hit the young rookie. It's usually a disaster.
Right.
But you do learn something from having your quarterback out there. You know, he gained a lot of experience. Experience counts double in this league. Okay, so the more experience you have, the more times you can see things, the better you are. It may not necessarily show up that year, but you do gain a lot of experience. But that being said, that guy could get shell-shocked, okay? All of a sudden, you're seeing ghosts. You don't can't see anything because you've been hit so many times. There is a lot of that, you know, mixed in. So I understand an organization wanting to put that young quarterback out there right away, but they have to kind of, you know, tone down their expectations of what you think he's going to do. Because, listen, it takes everybody to win games in the National Football League. There's a reason why he was the number one draft pick, all right? Is because the team isn't that great. And one guy is not all of a sudden going to turn your organization around to being a playoff team in the first year. I can't name one guy that has, okay? So for me, it's that type of Aaron Rodgers type of thing. If you had the best case scenario, draft a quarterback a little later behind a guy who's a star, have him watch what's going on and what Brett Favre goes out and does day in and day out, learn how to be a pro, and then find a way to get onto the field in a couple years. I think that's probably the best case scenario for a quarterback in this league.
By the way, final question. Gut feeling. Is Urban Meyer going to work in the pro game?
It's tough for those college guys. You know, it just depends on that team. It depends on, you know, who they get and the system that they run. You know, he's had success everywhere he's been.
Right. Right?
You know, college, he goes and he revives, you know, great programs, you know, who are dead the year before or what have you. The pros is a lot different. And we've seen a lot of college coaches fail, you know, coming into the pros. It really just depends on the organization, the support, and what happens there from the player personnel standpoint, and whether his system and what he's doing is going to fit what the Jaguars need to do in that division.
Yeah. Great seeing you, Dwight, as always. Have a great weekend. I know you're pulling for the Colts. They got a tough one down in the heat in Miami. Great seeing you.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. You take care.
You bet. He made a really good point. Right now, the Colts don't have an identity. And that's a thing. Like, by the way, that's what Jacksonville's trying to find. I felt like Cincinnati at the end of the game, their identity is Burrow at the line, getting in and out of plays, being cool, calm. Cincinnati now with Burrow kind of found an identity. Put it in Joe's hands. He'll get us in and out of the right plays. They have excellent wide receiver weapons. Excellent. Jacksonville's trying to figure out what they are. There's a reason that Urban Meyer drafted that running back in the first round, and they already had one. He wanted to be a running team for the first year because he didn't want Trevor Lawrence throwing it 50 times. He wanted an identity, but his running back got hurt. I know this. The running back got hurt. So now we're going to struggle with identity. We can't give Robinson 45 carries. So that is what Urban was trying to do with the draft. We're going to go. He got a tackle. He went and got a blocking tight end from Ohio State. He went and got a running back. They wanted to be a power running team for a year or two to make the transition easier. And then the star running back you draft gets hurt. And now more of a passing team. That was the plan.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, Sam Darnold leads the undefeated Panthers against Dak and the Cowboys. Or Russell Wilson leads the Seahawks in an NFC West showdown against the 49ers. Check local listings for the game in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
So an interesting game, Seattle is at San Francisco. Russell Wilson went to Twitter yesterday, and his tweet was, "I love adversity." I don't know how much he's going to love it if he's 1-3 in the NFC West. So if the Rams won this weekend, they're 4-0. If the Seahawks lost, they're underdogs, they would be 1-3. That's a long road to climb. And this is just a thought exercise. I am not sourcing anything here, but Tom Brady has a defensive coach forever, goes to Tampa with an offensive coach, wins a Super Bowl at 44. Russell's at the game, seething. Matt Stafford had many defensive coaches, goes to an offensive coach with Sean McVay, one of the early favorites to win MVP. He's watching it. And Russell's got a 70-year-old defensive coach. Since Paul Allen died, has way too much power. And Russell's watching these peers get an offensive coach more progressive offense, and these guys, his contemporaries, are crushing it. He's already been linked to four teams 6 months ago. Just saying, thought exercise. Pete got rid of Norm Chow. There was this feeling that Norm was getting a little credit. Russell Wilson gets a lot of credit. You get five first-round picks for Russell Wilson. I would never make the deal. If I was a team like the Bears, I'd make the deal. Or maybe not the Bears now with Justin Fields, but almost every NFL team, I would make the deal. Just a thought. We got him linked to four teams 6 months ago. I just think Brady with Arians and Matt Stafford gets the right offensive coach, and you start sitting around there looking, and you're like, man, what do we do well on this team besides what I'm connected with? Now my great defensive coach, our defense is awful. I mean, I'm just saying, the defense now in Seattle can't get teams off the field. I mean, Brady could be mad at Belichick, but he always had a great defense. I don't know. I don't know. You go 1-3 in that division. I do not believe, I'll tell you this right now, I do not believe Russell Wilson ends his career with the Seahawks. I do not believe that. Not saying it's going to, you know, I'm saying it's going to be disrupted. I have no sourcing here, but they lose this weekend. You look up at the Rams, Stafford with a new team, offensive coach, setting records. Just saying. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line.
That'll be
news.
A new segment on the show. We'll call it Just Saying. That means I don't have any journalistic sources, but it's, you know, just a thought. Just saying, go 1-3, Rams 4-0. You have the old defensive coach with all the power. Watching all your contemporaries cut it up with their new offensive guys. Just saying.
Well, it's similar to what Patrick Mahomes was talking about earlier. The adversity stuff sounds fun, spicy.
You're 1-3.
When you've been winning. And it's like, oh, this winning stuff's kind of boring. I'm a little challenge.
Yeah.
And then you get the challenge, and you're like, there's a reason we weren't going to thrive in this space.
Yeah, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos are pretty good. It's not that much fun of a challenge.
So Tom Brady is obviously returning to Foxborough this Sunday. And even though I feel like, I know it's Tom Brady, he's been in a lot of very intense situations. This is going to be a unique one. He said he's not going to let nostalgia get in the way of his ultimate goal.
I'm just excited to go up there and try to beat a really great football team. That's ultimately what this week's about. I have nothing but incredible thoughts, memories, emotions towards all the kind of football experiences I've had. And that's obviously one that was the longest. And I still have a lot of great friends there, but they know I want to kick their butt this week. So they'll know exactly how I'm feeling once I'm out there.
I'm going to get Tom some tea.
Yeah, Tom's been sick all week.
Oh, a little rasp.
A lot of rasp.
Well, there's 29 current players in the active roster who have played one or more regular season or postseason games with Brady. Matthew Slater has played the most games with him. You have Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, James White, J.C. Jackson, Brian Hoyer. So there's guys on the team that he's spent a significant amount of time around.
Yeah.
But it's also, and he talked about this, he knows that building, he knows the tunnel, he knows what it smells like, he knows what the fans smell like, he knows everything about that place, but he's never been on the other side of it. So, yes, I understand Tom Brady is the greatest to ever do it, and he's incredible, but he is still a human.
Yeah.
And he knows what all this means.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots fans are going to give him a nice welcome.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they better. Let me tell you something about these football gods. don't tempt them, Patriots fans. But I don't think that he will be met with any animosity.
No.
I am really interested to see what the interaction between him and Bill Belichick is.
Yeah.
Obviously, both of them have been asked all week about this matchup, and they're going to continue to be asked about it, as they should. This is a big deal for fans, not just of the Patriots or the Buccaneers. Like, this is a historic matchup that we're getting to watch with Brady going back there. And a lot of people are trying to watch it in person. It's the average ticket price is $1,101.
Oh, Lord. To watch Mac Jones?
Which ranks, no disrespect to Mac Jones, but I think it's the other quarterback that everyone's going to watch. It will rank among the most expensive tickets for any sporting event in Boston area history, according to Vivid Seats. And the Bucks are favored by 7, according to Fox Bet. I know that a lot of people feel like the Bucks are going to blow them out.
I would. By the way, do you notice I wouldn't put it in the Blazing Five? I didn't understand the line. I don't understand the line.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks blew them out. They are a better. They are the better team.
But 90% of bets are on Tampa, and that's why I can't bet it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like literally 92% of bets are on Tampa. So you're joining the people who lose bets for all the time. So I can't do it. Right.
I mean, I think that the Bucks will win, but. There's just, this is a lot. This is an emotional game. It's a different environment. There's a lot of intangible things floating yes. around this matchup. If he wins, though, if Tom Brady wins, he will have beaten all 32 NFL teams.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
So the Bengals were down 14-0 halftime last night and clawed their way back to a 24-21 victory. And Joe Burrow said overcoming all of the game's obstacles showed a lot about his team.
Yeah, there was no panic in the locker room. We knew we didn't play great in the first half. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, we had all the faith in the world that we were going to come out and play really well in the second half, and, you know, we've been a second-half team. We're going to have to get that fixed. We're going to have to play better in the first half on offense, but, you know, I'm proud of the way we fought back.
They did come out in the second half on fire.
Listen, there's two games now, that one and the Vikings one, where you can make an argument Joe Burrow willed his team to win. Just period, you won because of the quarterback.
He's special.
Yes, no question.
He is, and when he's put in a position to do what he does best— which is deal.
Boy, and he's got some receivers. Boy, they got Boyd, and they got T. Higgins, and now they've got Ja'Marr Chase. Like, and they're all young. Like, if he grows with these guys, those guys stay for like 6 years, that's going to become one of the best receiving cores. They are stacked at wide receiver.
And for as bad as the offensive line was last year, they've been giving him some time this
year. A little bit better.
They've been giving him some pockets.
Still need to address that.
No, I mean, it could definitely improve, but they're doing a decent job with him this year. And, you know, in the second half, he was 17 of 20, 253 passing yards, two touchdowns. Obviously, they set up the game-winning field goal. I actually was impressed with both teams last night. I know Urban Meyer is very upset.
There was no turnovers.
So. It was a very clean game for two teams that's not normally the case.
Yeah, I was wildly entertained by it.
It was a great game.
I thought it was a great game. I watched every snap. I thought it was great.
A little bit of Trevor Lawrence doing what he does.
Yes.
I think, you know, look, again, the Jaguars are not a great team. And I know Urban is probably extremely frustrated. He's not used to this kind of situation. But I think that overall, Jacksonville should walk away from that with a little bit of a moral victory. It was it was a clean game. It was competitive. And then the Bengals face the Packers next week at home. So we'll see how that goes. But they are 3-1 and atop the AFC North right now and have been really impressive so far this season. So it was just a matter of time before Joel Embiid spoke about the Ben Simmons situation.
Oh, did he?
And yesterday he had some comments about Ben Simmons. He said, I feel like our teams have always been built around his needs. We got rid of Jimmy Butler, which I still think was a mistake, just to make sure he needed the ball in his hands. And that's the decision they made. The situation is disappointing, borderline, kind of disrespectful to the guys out here.
I don't think it's even borderline. I think he's absolutely right. I think he's been coddled in AAU. He was coddled at LSU. I think he's been coddled by the Sixers, and Embiid's the better player. And Embiid has some leadership qualities that I like. He's outspoken. He's direct. He's not passive-aggressive. He's funny. He's likable, and he's dominant when he's healthy. You know, listen, I've said before, I thought initially I would build around Simmons over Embiid, but I like what I see with Embiid just saying, I'm done with this, sitting here and letting you control my organization. I'm over it.
Well, also he's not telling lies here.
That's right.
Like, in order for Ben Simmons to be successful, the team has to be built around him. And if you're looking at the intangibles of the situation, which I think at this point is fair to add to the conversation, what organization out there is going to do that? That's part of the reason why they're in this situation. So apparently, a part of the reason why he wants out is because he will always be a number two to Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Which, when
be.
You're looking at the play, he should be.
Right.
He should be number two. Yeah. But it doesn't work because, as Embiid said, it has to be built around what makes Ben Simmons successful. So, I don't know. He wants to be the man. I don't know what team out there is going to do that. And at this point, when he's asking out in the second year of a 5-year deal, which I don't get crazy about contracts. Like, contracts are broken and changed and reworked all the time. It's not a blood oath. You didn't sell your child to the devil.
Right.
It's just a contract. It's an agreement. Yeah. But there is something too. They committed to you and now you want out. And they have made all of these concessions to try and make it work. And Embiid is right. He's like, there's a lot of guys that rely on these teams being good and being competitive to keep jobs in the league, and you're bailing now, and the season is starting.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Embiid speaking up.
Nope, I don't either. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
I'm gonna
Line
throw,
News.
You know, I just did a Just Saying with Russell Wilson. I'm going to do a Just Saying with Belichick. There's something in that book I don't think sat well at all with Belichick. And I think he's going to make people pay for it. Talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Wolf and Shepherd, dress shoe made and worn by athletes like Gronk and Steve Nash. Check it out, wolfandshepherd.com. Business shoe on top, athletic shoe on the bottom. Really comfortable. Eric Mangini, 3 rings with the Patriots. They are hosting Brady this weekend. First of all, gut feeling. How's the game turn out? What does the game look like to you this weekend?
Well, my initial reaction is that Tom should be able to have his way with the defense, and with the amount of talent that they have offensively, with the knowledge that he has of not just the defensive personnel, but the scheme and all those things, and even the game planning, Tom should have a tremendous edge. I think emotionally, he isn't going to be jacked up by anything that they any tributes or anything like that. If anything, he's going to be more zeroed in than ever. And I'm so curious to see how Bill is going to try to attack Tom. Because if he knows what you're in, he's going to go to the right place. So you've got to disguise. How well can this group do that? You know, can they push the pocket against them? There's the element of Bill taking some shots at Bruce Arians and saying this is really just a New England offense. I mean, I think that's another little side note to this whole thing. But Tom's not going to be jacked up, and he's got a tremendous edge going in there.
By the way, have you seen any growth with Mac Jones so far? He was bad last weekend. What have you seen?
Yeah, well, bad is relative. Bad relative to the other rookie quarterbacks. I don't think that's necessarily the case. He's done a great job in terms of running the offense, mechanically making sure that things are right. He looks poised for the most part. It doesn't look too big for him. Where people are attacking now, Colin, is they're bringing a lot more pressure. And even though it's not resulting in sacks, he's hit at one of the highest rates in the league, and he's hurried at one of the highest rates in the league. So now the way that works is everybody's going to start bringing it to see whether he can fix and deal with that problem. And in addition, you're getting tight man-to-man coverage to make sure he has no easy answers. And they haven't hurt anybody with deep balls.
Yeah.
So until you make somebody pay with a deep ball, you're going to get more and more of that. And that's, they need to find an answer and some way to help them with those two problems.
By the way, I've been asking this to everybody. Urban Meyer, 0-4 start. I think they've played well the last 2 weeks. Your gut feeling on what you're seeing. I think they're getting gradually better, but I think there's limitations.
It's hard in the NFL. It's radically different from college football. And when you come in with as much power as he has and as much credibility as he has, you're given a tremendous benefit of the doubt. But when you go 0-4, that starts to erode. And the players in the locker room, as much as you're asking them to grow, you're asking them to improve, you're asking them to change, they need to see the same thing from him. They need to see an evolution. And I don't know where that is. I thought they made progress last night. I thought one thing they did to help Trevor Lawrence is run the ball and consistently run the ball. And that helps young quarterbacks. But how well is he really growing? And how well is he dealing with the pressure and the effects of losing? What's he lost more games so far this year than the last 2 years at Ohio State?
Yeah. You like Joe Burrow from day one. Coach, I think he's so poised and so accurate. Like, I think the only thing limiting him is the Bengals. That's how highly I think of him now.
I do like Joe Burrow. And you see, too, Colin, the difference between year one and year two. It's so hard for these guys to go in and play and then play at a high level. And I look for moments with young quarterbacks. How do they do in moments? So here they are. They're down 14. He's able to bring the team back, and then he's been able to put him in a position to win. That, to me, is growth. That's a great sign of growth. Where I'm a little bit concerned is he's thrown almost as many interceptions this year as he did all of last year. And look, we all want our quarterbacks to be aggressive, but you want those numbers to not be skewed the way they're skewing a little bit right now.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you see something early in the year and you look at your eyes and then you go to analytics and see if those are telling you the true thing. I have been a critic of the Cowboys for most of my career as a broadcaster, because most of my career they've been 8-8, 9-8. You know, I mean, they've just been hovering around 500. But I will say this. I think their defense is better than the market's giving them credit for. I think it's so fast. I think they found an elite Diggs, the corner. I think he's fantastic. They're all banged up defensively, and they're still playing well. And they gave Justin Herbert, who's tremendous, leads the NFL in completions since the beginning of last year. Is Dallas's defense now good? You've watched. What is it now? Because I'll tell you this. It's rangy. It's athletic. It is fast.
Well, that's the difference between this year and last year primarily. There was a lot of adjustments and a lot of things that they had to handle in the scheme last year, and it takes some time for that to really work at a high level. So oftentimes guys are tentative, guys play slower than they normally would. What it looks like Dan's done, and Dan's always done a good job of this, is he's gone and he's simplified it quite a bit,
yeah.
And he's constantly preaching, running to the ball, playing fast, making sure that's the primary focus. And you can overcome a lot of deficiencies through effort, intensity, the speed with which you play. And I give Dan a lot of credit for doing that. Now, it'll become more multiple as he's there, but he's not putting too much on a young group and a group that has so many new players. And look, the offense has been explosive. It's not like they have to be the elite defense in the league. They just have to be significantly better than they were last year, and they are right now.
Yeah, no question. By the way, finally, circle back to the Patriots. The book is out, Seth Wickersham. Most of the stuff we all know. The one thing that landed for me is Kraft is quoted calling Belichick the most miserable human being in my life. I've seen Bill bail on owners before. Do you think if Bill saw that and thought, you know, well, what's the point? I mean, he's going to get rid of me at some point. Why don't I bail first and go find a young quarterback in a warm beach, you know? How would that land if Bill read that? I'm sure Bill would read that.
There's a lot of really successful people that are miserable. And some of the reason that they're so successful is because that's all they're focused on, and they don't have the ability to give energy in other areas. I don't think Bill would want to go somewhere else. He's got two of his kids who are on the staff. He's got the system in place from a coaching perspective, a scouting perspective, a pro scouting, equipment, medical, right on down the line. And that took years and years to develop. And to go somewhere new and overhaul a place, that's a hard job, especially at this point in his career. Now, if it gets to be a situation where the friction is too great, just like they can ask Tom Brady to leave the building, and Bill was able to do that, and Robert can ask Bill to leave the building, and he'd have every right to. I mean, right, you got to give Mr. Kraft a tremendous amount of credit. He traded a first-round draft pick for Bill coming off a one winning season in 5 years in Cleveland. That took a tremendous amount of foresight, and I'm sure he wants some gratitude for it.
Yeah. Good seeing you, Coach. Be fun to watch on Sunday night. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll talk to you, Kyle.
Yeah. I'm not trying to start something here. I think if somebody could write a book about our show. Let's say we go 10 more years and set all sorts of records, and it's all of a sudden, who gets credit, Joy or Colin? And there's a book written about it. And there, you know, it's not all good. Some's good. But something was written about you or I. Just take you. And it's like really personal. Calls you miserable. I don't know if that would sit the same as all the other criticism.
Well, yeah, a personal attack, something about your demeanor, how you treat people is different than, you know, I don't like her voice.
Colin's nose is pointy. Colin's miserable. What a horrible person. I'm out of here.
It's a big difference.
Yeah,
it
just feels really personal to me. And I've seen Belichick. I'm not saying, you know, you guys all have Urban leaving Jacksonville. I don't. But if he does take the USC job, Bill Belichick's like, I got a house about an hour away. Trevor Lawrence, weird division.
Nothing is impossible.
So you guys all have Urban out. Well, who would take the job?
I don't think either of those things are happening. Neither I don't think are. Urban's leaving, and I don't think Belichick's leaving.
I agree.
Leaving, but
I agree.
Nothing's impossible.
Endless hot water, 15-year limited warranty. Get a Navien tankless water heater. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Navien, saving your energy bill.